Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 108 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to talk about Southern Charm. We're going to talk about college baseball. We're going to do a little caftan update. And we're going to talk about some summer books that we are reading or want to read. Before we get into all that though, I want to tell you about one of my favorite things recently. This is also one of Melanie's favorite things recently, and it is FabFitFun. If you don't know about FabFitFun already, let me tell you, it is a seasonal box and it has full-size beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. This summer box, y'all, is incredible. It was the most fun to open. It has been the most fun to use the products that were included in it. There was a Pier 1 marble ring dish. There was a Summer and Rose beach towel. There are Tarte beauty products. All kinds of great things that you might not necessarily go out and find for yourself. And then when you get to use them, you're like, well, this is genius. I have to continue to use this forevermore. Depending on the box, you might find skincare from Kate Somerville or fashion items from Trina Turk or beauty products from Tarte or Zoya. You just never know. But you do know that getting your box will feel like Christmas four times a year. It retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200. And if you would like to try it, you can go to FabFitFun.com and use the coupon code BIGBOO for $10 off your first box. It's FabFitFun.com and use the coupon code BIGBOO for $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. It's a great way to treat yourself. It's a great way to try some new products. You're going to love it. Alrighty, here we go with episode 108. We are really glad y'all are here. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And we are extra sunshiny today.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I didn't even get into it, but I'll go ahead and tell you. And I'm going to apologize to our two male listeners right now, if we have any. I'm assuming, I don't know that we have any male listeners. But I'm going to tell you that part of my problem is that I started my period this morning. And okay. here's what I want to tell my uterus, basically, is you need to settle down. Your work here is done. So you need to simmer down. Like, you are not going to be called into action here on the precipice of my 47th birthday. So, hey, why don't we not maybe cramp as much? How about we simmer down on the PMS hormones? I mean, I woke up last night. I woke up and I was like, my legs were, I was like Sissy in Urban Cowboy. Mama, my legs are sweating. I was so... It's just awful. And I think feel like the heat makes it worse. Mm-hmm. It's just hateful.
Mm-hmm. It's a series of small but scarring humiliations, I feel like, at this stage. But now, you know, this is too much. This is
isn't it? Let's just go. This is the podcast of too much. That's
okay. So I had a procedure. Share. Last year. Yes. So that I don't deal with that anymore.
Yes. That was smart.
It was a procedure my doctor did because I had gotten to where, I'm so sorry if any men are listening to this, but I had gotten to where every month I was like, well, I could leave the house, but I probably won't.
Yeah.
And so, so my doctor did a procedure, which was glorious, and everything's still in place, but it just, things don't happen anymore. Yeah. And
I don't know how vague or revealing that was, but when I had my checkup this last time about a month ago, he said, so everything since then, I was like, listen, I would do commercials. I would do commercials and say, women of Alabama, let me tell you about this thing that you can do so that.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's well, and see, maybe that's what I need to go do. It's just one of those things where I'm like, if I'm at the point where I can't even read my text without my reading glasses, then maybe we could do away with this other. Like, maybe there ought to be a trade-off.
Sure. It feels like maybe something is off when, yeah. When if you were to have a child, you could not, in fact, read the fine print on the jar of baby food.
No, like no. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then why do I have this other going on? That's what I'm saying.
I saw where Bridget Nielsen, who used to be married to Sylvester Stallone,
I
saw the other day that she's pregnant at 54.
Stop it. Why? How is that even? Can that happen? I mean, I guess it can happen, but I mean, 54. Did she plan that? Do we think she planned that?
I don't. I didn't read the article. I did a whole like, whoa.
I mean, hey. I mean, good night. I can't even imagine the way I'm having to wait around on a teenager all summer and everything else. Guess when I don't want to be doing that? When I'm 74. I mean. Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know.
I'm very sorry. It's misery. It's miserable. It's horrible.
It is. And I think it's the hormone thing. I got real tickled because I had to go. I had a mammogram, I don't know, like a month ago, I guess. So while I was, you know, how you chit chat and whatever, and I was talking to this lady, you know, which I'm sure they hear more than they want to, but I was like, oh, and with my period, and I was telling her, I had a teenage daughter, and she said, my daughter's 20 now. She goes, but when she was a teenager and still living at home, she said, I told her, you need to get some sort of calendar or something, and you need to chart your cycle, and you need to give me a heads up for being so hateful. And I thought that pretty much decides it. It's just like two cats just like, gaw. It's a lot of hormones in one house is what I'm saying.
Circling one another.
Yes. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. And both of us between like either we're crying or we're mad or we're something. I don't know. So that's what's going on here. So between that and the 150 degree heat, I'm in a really good mood.
Well, I told you, I feel like I've started to have hot flashes. Now, I don't know that that's what they are. For sure. But I can't think of any other reason why suddenly I'd be sitting around and I'd feel like the inside of my body is the temperature of the surface of the sun. I don't know what else you would call that, really.
Either that
or I have a medical condition I might want to get checked out. So here's what I did. The other night I was sitting in the den off the kitchen and all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, I'm on fire. So I don't know if you remember, but in a FabFitFun box, we got an ice pack. Do you remember that?
Yes, we did. Yes, we sure did.
I really like it. Can be an ice pack or it can be a heat pack. Uh-huh. And I put it in the freezer the day I got it, just thinking like, oh, I'll keep that in there. Good to have on hand. Listen, I got that sucker and I put it on the back of my neck and I was as happy. I mean, it was like, well, this is a revelation. I don't know why I haven't done this before. Can I walk around? Can I keep this in my purse?
Yeah, exactly. Can I just walk around with
Target and this happens, you know?
Yeah, like an ice pack just buckled around my waist. Can I just put it? Yeah. Oh, God, I can't even imagine. I mean, because I hate feeling hot. It's the worst feeling. And I told you that friend of mine had gotten that thing, that cooling thing that where you sleep on water that you can regulate the temperature.
Yes.
And last night I was really wishing for one of those. I was like, that just sounds so dreamy right now.
I forgot about that.
Remember, I know I'm sitting here. I'm trying to remember what the name. I just Googled Coolio because I was thinking that's what it is. But that would be a rapper, Coolio. And that's not what I was. I was looking for Gangsta's Paradise. I was looking for what is the cooling thing that goes on a mattress? Oh, the cooling mattress pad. Hold on, I'm about to find it. It's called something, and you pump water through it. Here's an Arctic sleep. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, how could that not work out?
I don't know, but it sounds heavenly because I hadn't slept under the covers in, it was deep winter, but ever since it warmed up, I just push the covers back every night. I just get on top of the fitted sheet and that's it. That's all I need. And I've got a fan blowing on me. Like it's legitimately miserable.
See, yeah, that is the, it's a chili pad. See, why was I thinking Coolio? See, this is what happens to you. I still have to deal with cramps and I want to call something a Coolio that goes on your bed. It's called a chili pad. And so you can follow them on Instagram at Chili Technology. And so you sleep hot, sleep cold, sleep perfectly, anywhere from 55 degrees to 110. So you can run
55 is interesting to me.
The 55 sounds delightful. And here's what's best is you have a wide range of temperature control. So somebody, you could sleep super cold on your side and Papaw over next to you could sleep hot. Because I know at our house, Perry's like, I'm cold. And I'm like, well, go put on a sweater because we aren't changing the thermostat.
That's what, I mean, David sometimes will go, it's cold in here. I'm like, well, you know what? Like, grab a blanket.
Yeah, too bad. I know. Well, we were at the beach this past weekend and we kept that beach house so cold. And the men, because it was three couples and kids, and the men were all like, it is cold in here. And the women, because we're all about the same age, were like, it feels delightful in here. Mm-hmm. This is the best I've felt all summer so far.
Well, I told David a couple of weeks ago it was really the first time it got super hot. I guess it was the week of the SEC baseball tournament. And He said, it's cold in here. I said, let me tell you something. I think I'm having hot flashes. I think that's what's happening to me. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be any wiggle room with this thermostat, I'm afraid. It's going to be real necessary that we keep this thing on the south side of what you might consider comfortable. So,
yeah, it's just going to have to, it just is what it is. You're just going to have to accept it.
Unless you want this to be my summer of rage. And then if the summer of rage is what you have in mind, then by all means, go ahead and put it on 75.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you value your life, then what I would do is probably just keep it a little cooler.
Listen.
I know. Okay. Now let's talk about SEC baseball.
Yes.
Listen, it has worked out very well. It did not work out as well for the Aggies, but that's okay. I'm really fine with it. No, I really am fine with it. You know how sometimes you just kind of go, here's the reality, is this wasn't a team that was going to be equipped to go far in Omaha. So there's really no reason. I mean, I love the team. I think that they're a great group of guys, but this just wasn't their year. And so I'm really fine with it.
Okay. Well, States regional win this last week was really unexpected. And honestly, I mean, in the first round of the regional, we were playing Oklahoma. They beat us 20-10. It was like a football game.
Yeah. Crazy.
Then we were playing Florida State in an elimination game. We were playing Florida State in an elimination game and they were winning 2-0. It was the bottom of the ninth. We had two strikes and two outs. And Elijah McNamee, who's one of our players, hits a home run and wins in a walk-off 3-2 because there were two guys on base. So that was delightful in and of itself. But, I mean, listen, it was so fun. And I'm so proud of them because then they had to beat Samford and then they had to beat Oklahoma twice.
Yeah, so, which is tough.
Mm-hmm, really hard. So. Yeah. And they were playing at Tallahassee, so that was really cool outside.
Yeah, exactly. It felt good.
Mm-hmm. Not humid.
Mm-mm, not at all. No, everybody always says Florida is so delightful this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's where you should go. Maybe you should just...
Maybe so. Maybe mm-hmm. I could find some place with some mosquitoes just to add to all of
that's it. That's right. Swamps. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so State's now in the Super Regional. They're playing Vanderbilt, and... I was hopeful that they were going to play in Starkville, but you know, State Stadium is under construction.
Oh, gotcha.
So the series is going to be in Nashville and that's not a very big stadium. So tickets are really tight, but I'm hopeful that they'll do well.
Okay. So are you going to try to go or is that not in the cards for you?
No, well, I had a girls trip with some of my college friends planned for this weekend. And so there was a brief text exchange after State one that was like, hey, do we have a we have a plan for the regionals, but for the super regionals, but then we found out that the games were in Nashville, and so that kind of
gotcha.
So, and I don't know that we would have gone anyway, just because it's such a small stadium, it's going to be so hard to get tickets. So we'll see. Gotcha. I mean, this is kind of an unlikely team to be this far into the postseason, just because they had a really rough start, but they also had a lot of off the field stuff going on. So we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I hope they do well this weekend. Go Bulldogs.
Okay. I know. That's very fun. Yeah. That's, I feel like that was the Aggies last year. Last year we made it to Omaha and it was kind of totally unexpected. And this year, I think that people thought, well, we've got a lot of returners, but it just, I don't know. We just never could seem to get our pitching. I don't know what you know about baseball, but sometimes you have to be able to pitch and be able to hit the ball in the same game really helps. And we struggled with that. It felt like we would have these great outings on the mound and we couldn't ever, you know, I don't know. We never could get our pitching and our hitting aligned right. So anyway.
Well, that was sort of the magic, I think, for State in the regional, was they just hit lights out. They just, you know, I love that. I love some aggressive hitting. I always say you can't score if you don't hit. I mean, technically you could walk a bunch, but really, like, you're not going to win if you can't hit the ball, by and large. And so they did a great job with hitting and it paid off for them. So I was tickled. It was fun.
Well, that is very fun. Well, it's going to be another fun weekend of baseball. So that's kind of fun.
I know. Hazel, God love her, when we were playing that second Oklahoma game, but the I screamed so loudly. She had a hard time.
The neurotic dogs don't really do well with all the sports.
They really don't. It's difficult for them. But no. Anyway, no. So that was fun. Okay, so we have had several people message us and several people email us to say the next time y'all record a podcast, could you please talk about the most recent episode of Southern Charm? Now,
I mean,
I'll say this. My DVR records it like at the second time it comes on at night. It records it late at night. Okay. So I usually don't see it the night of it, unless I'm sitting in front of the television. Mm-hmm. So the next morning I woke up and saw a text from you from like 1 a.m. that said, "You up?" So I thought, oh gosh, something happened. And then it turned out you wanted to talk about Southern Charm.
Yes, I did. Because as you know, I have watched, you and I both have watched our share of reality TV. I feel like I've seen a lot of crazy on reality TV, but I'm going to dare to say that this last episode of Southern Charm was among one of the most bat poop crazy episodes of reality TV I've ever seen.
It was cuckoo. I mean, it was just, you would have thought it was staged. And don't come at me telling me, well, you know, all reality TV was staged, because here's the deal. Nobody would put themselves or want to cultivate this particular kind of reputation for themselves on purpose. Like, this would be nobody's intention, what happened on Southern Charm last week. So why don't you set it up for us and tell us what sort of the setup was for that episode?
Okay, well, so the whole gang, the whole Southern Charm gang, which is already dysfunctional at best, because all of them have pretty much dated all of them. You know what I mean? So essentially, you're just putting a bunch of exes all in a room together, which I think for a weekend, which is kind of a bad idea. Anyway, and here's the thing. I think that only works if everybody's super mature, and I don't really think that really is anything anybody would accuse this particular group of being.
No, it really, so like they put Cameron's sort of your voice of reason, and she at this particular point was about there. 14 months pregnant and was not there.
Yeah, so you take out kind of the lone voice of reason between Cameron and then Patricia, because, you know, Patricia's the mom of the group and she's not going to be there. And so you put them all at a house in Hilton Head where there's going to be a lot of alcohol and a lot of dysfunction.
Right.
And so you have Catherine, who has two children with Thomas Ravenel. So she's the baby's mama. And then you have Thomas is there with his new girlfriend, Ashley, who, let me just say, is one of the more despicable characters that I have ever viewed. And just on, here's the thing, my heart goes out to her because I want to say, Ashley, girl, you need to get it together. You need to break up with Thomas, first of all, and this is not going to work out for you. You're going to wake up in 3 years and be like, well, how did I get here? And hopefully you will not have brought a baby into the mix.
Well, and so I think if memory serves, and I'm so sorry if you don't watch this show, because I'm sorry, somebody's clearly delivering something because Hazel's losing her mind.
Yes, well, it's understandable.
You hear, I mean, this is.
I know. Listen, I know. Mine are outside right now.
So apparently last summer, Thomas was in California. Is that right?
Yes. And he looked across and this.
He and Ashley gorgeous, saw one another.
Yes. Which why a gorgeous 30-something year old would look at Thomas Ravenel across the bar, unless she had seen him on reality TV and wanted to also be famous. I don't know why else she would go for him in a bar.
That's sort of my strategy, is that she knew who he, I mean, not my strategy, but my theory is that she knew who he was. Now, I will not presume motive, but it does to me seem like there was some intention on her part to connect with him for whatever reason.
Yes. I think she was drawn to his money and his B-list, D-list fame. But I think that there's a question there, too, as to how much money Thomas even really has.
Well, listen, we could dig into that for some time. I mean,
I mean, it appears he gives the appearance of having a lot of money, but he doesn't seem to have any sort of discernible form of employment. So I don't know if that's just a trust fund that he's getting. I don't really know what, and he is a convicted felon, too. So you've got that working against you in terms of your job prospects.
As my sister would say, it's a real deep situation. It's deep. It's deep.
It's deep.
So it is. They all go to Hilton Head because that is where two of the people on the show, Shep and Chelsea, who are both very likable people, that's where they grew up. They
yes. want
everybody to see Hilton Head. So they go and everything is tense, but okay except that you see on the way down there, Ashley continues to berate Thomas about whether or not she's going to be invited to his son's birthday party. And how if Catherine does not invite her to Thomas and Catherine's son's birthday party, there's going to be a problem. So she's from the way it's edited, it looks like she's just on a one-track loop with it, like just over and over and over.
Yeah, like he's trying to like, oh, look at the ocean. And she's like, but am I going to be at the birthday party?
Yes.
Like she's like a dog with a bone. She's not leaving it alone. Like she keeps coming back to it. And when she's not bringing that up, she's talking about how great she would look with a ring on her finger and how they ought to get engaged, which I don't know if you know this, but most confirmed bachelors really love what they really want is a woman who's going to continually like try to push them into marriage.
Well, and I've really never seen anybody who found more ways to reference their desire to be married or to have children with somebody or to receive a ring. Like, it's almost like, look, here's some pimento cheese. You know what would look beautiful nestled in that pimento cheese? An engagement ring. I mean, it's constant.
Good morning. You know what? I would like to be able to say good morning to you for the rest of your life. If you would just give me a ring. It's incessant. Yeah. It's incessant. And I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I hope she realizes that she's not being subtle at all, because it's the worst. I mean, I know that, listen, I'm the first to say there have been times in my life where I probably thought I was playing it real cool when I absolutely was not.
Right.
I mean, I own that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even today, as the mom of a teenager, sometimes I think I'm being real cool. And Caroline's like, why don't you just ask me if that's what I'm doing? And I'm like, well, I see that I was not subtle at all with that. Yes. But I'm saying this, there is like no subtlety at all.
Yeah. I mean, she's as subtle as a stick of dynamite, really. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
So she's going after Thomas over and over and over about the birthday party. Will I be at the birthday party? She's not going to invite me to the birthday party. I bet I'm not at the birthday party. And then they all get on a ferry and go to an island, and the guys go back off. And what did the girls go do? I can't even remember. They go to a spa. Is that right?
Yes. I think so. I can't remember. That was all. So it's all faded into the background. Yes.
All that to say, they all meet back for dinner at this restaurant. They're all sitting at a big picnic table. And Ashley, I don't want to assume, but my guess is And because she had had some liquid courage.
Yes.
She goes all in with Catherine about the birthday party. Yep. And in that process, she flipped her hair back with both her hands. Like she was, I don't even know. I've never seen anybody do that. Like what she was doing with her hands. She keeps flipping her hair back, like on both sides constantly. And says some of really the most hateful things I have heard.
Yes. Yes. I mean, just where you want to go, girl, number one, you haven't been around long enough to even know what this situation is. Number two, like you're making some big assumptions about somebody's character and everything else. And then was just horrible. And I will say to Catherine's credit, for all that she has been the show wacko for years, I mean, she held it together because I thought I would, I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty level-headed person, but I thought I would come across the table at you right now if you were saying those things to me. Like, it was so ugly.
She was so, so level. I mean, she was angry, and she did, she said some angry things. But compared to the way that she maybe would have reacted in the past, it was a vast improvement. But here's the thing, and this is the question I want to ask you. Did you not find yourself as they was there a point when you thought, why are none of the guys stepping up and trying to manage this thing? Not only did they not try to step in, they were standing away from it and stayed over there. And I thought, well, you bunch of cowards, like get over there and stop this madness. Because Catherine's friend, Danny, she was going to bat for Catherine. She was trying to stop it. Naomi was like, you need to quit talking. But none of the guys would intervene. And then even when Thomas sat down, it was the most bizarre thing. He was just like, oh, let's just have a nice dinner.
Yeah, no. I'm going to tell you why. Because they put loser juice in that water that all those guys in Charleston are drinking that are on that show. That's what I said. And I contend, because here's my problem with the whole thing. I don't feel bad. No, actually, I take that back. I do feel bad for Ashley. I can sympathize with both females in that situation. I feel bad for them because I'm like, Ashley is clearly been deceived by Thomas on several levels because I think he's a despicable human being. And then you have Catherine, and she has also been through the ringer. But I'm like, it's Thomas's job to me in that situation to man up and go over there. And to get in the middle of that and be like, you're not going to talk to the mother of my children like this, and you need to back off and whatever. Because I felt like at that point he needed to come to Catherine's defense, because I'm like, that's the mother of his kids. And I don't care what their relationship is. Be a man and say, we're going to talk about this later, but whatever. But the problem is that Thomas is so slimy and like something that's been stuck on the bottom of my shoe that he worms his way out of everything. And that's why she keeps pushing the marriage thing. Because when she says it, he just smiles or he just laughs. But see, he never directly says anything.
Well, there's a whole secondary discussion here about, here are some of the natural consequences of when you get tangled up with a bad character. Here are some of the natural consequences, everybody, But that's neither here nor there, because I do feel for her. She is clearly desperate for his attention. And
yes,
I don't know, but for
him, she never really even showed any remorse over what had happened. That's my other problem. I felt like, no, she woke up the next morning and was like, oh, I kind of don't remember what happened. But I'm like, okay, but that's number one, not an excuse for bad behavior. And number two, then if somebody says, hey, you acted awful last night, then at that point you go, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that I had acted so terrible. But there was just no accounting. Instead, she used it as a chance to really prove to she and Thomas how it's the two of them against the world. And I'm like, yeah, because the world hates you. That's why it's the two of you against the world, and rightfully so.
I feel like that second night when Shep left the conversation, when she thought, and I think sometimes she thinks she's being real funny and kind of snarky, but it's really not coming across like she thinks it is.
No.
I feel like if Shep walks away from a conversation, and listen, I say this like I know him, but I feel like if he walks away from a conversation and says, I hate her.
Yeah.
That's telling to me, because he's such a, like a roll with it. everything seems to kind of
happy go lucky,
happy, super happy go lucky. And yeah, I don't know, it was really disturbing to me on a lot of levels, but nothing more disturbing to me than the fact that those guys stood back and just let those two women go after each other, and specifically letting Ashley go after Catherine like she did. And it was like hands off. And then Jack tries to come in later and say, well, I would have said something if.
No, go make a pillow, Craig. You weren't going to go do anything. And so that to me, but I'm going to tell you the other part that really disturbed me about all those guys, and to me was almost worse, is on the ferry on the way back when Thomas went after Chelsea, who I think Chelsea is just darling. Chelsea is too good for that show, maybe too good for this world. I think she is so gorgeous and so sweet. And I would really like to see Austin grow up and get it together, because I think he and Chelsea have the potential to have a really good relationship.
Well, we texted about that a couple of days ago, I believe. Mm-hmm.
So I feel good about that. But I just think Chelsea is darling. And I mean, she, to me, conducts herself at all times with grace and elegance. I think she does a really nice job in the midst of all that cuckoo-ness. But when Thomas, he lunged at her and got a weird look on his face, and all the guys just sat there then. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why isn't somebody saying, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I've been in Texas too long, but I feel like he'd have gotten himself knocked out if around the kind of guys I know, for acting like that towards a girl.
Well, and seeing that side of him, that was like, okay, this is who you are. Maybe when the camera, I don't know these people, but it was a really ugly side of him, and really inappropriately directed towards Chelsea. And yet again, I mean, Austin did move over to sit by her, but nobody, Whitney was just trying to say, you need to calm down. But I'm with you.
I don't
get it.
Could have
been a more forceful response.
For sure. And I think that, I think given all that, and now I have read that Patricia and Whitney have completely cut Thomas out of their life.
I read the same thing.
And I'm going to say that I side with Patricia on all things, partly because I would like for her to send me one of her caftans with Mabel's picture on it.
Sure. Yeah.
I would really like to have one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they're interested in being a podcast sponsor, Patricia, I'm just saying.
Yes.
That would make my whole life if we could somehow make that happen. But also, I do think that she... I think she's lived a lot of life and knows a lot of things. And I think she had been on Thomas's side for a long time. So the fact that she has now cut him off speaks volumes to me.
Well, it was an uncomfortable, I will tell you this. I watched it the next day and kind of thought about it for a second. And then I sat down and watched it again. It was one of those things where I've never in my life, I can't even believe this. I don't understand. And then Ashley went after Chelsea too when they got back to the house. It was just crazy town. And
she kept saying, Chelsea, Chelsea, Chelsea. And I was like, God, what is wrong with you? I just can't even figure it out. So that was more than, how sometimes you kind of look, because I'm also watching The Bachelorette right now, because summer, I've decided, is pretty much the time that I'm like, I'm just going to essentially rot my brain. I'm not going to put anything in there that's that good. It's like junk food all the time. So I'm watching The Bachelorette too. And you watch that and you're like, well, I'm afraid somebody got a bad edit there. But this was beyond a bad edit. You couldn't edit this to look worse, I don't think.
No. I mean, you had to, you always have to give somebody, even in a bad edit, something to work with. And I feel like there's probably some hidden footage that would be even more disturbing.
I know. So now, you're not watching The Bachelorette, are you?
Well, I started to watch the premiere over the weekend, but it's so long. I just couldn't. And then they do all those stupid things getting out of the limos. And I was just like, I don't even know if I've got world enough in time. So I haven't finished the season premiere yet. So we'll see if I go back to it.
Well, you can't watch it. You've got to watch it when you can fast forward, because there's a lot of, next time on The Bachelor, it's a lot of long stuff in between. And I will say, I felt like the first one was kind of a snooze to get through, because I'm saying, I'm like, y'all make me want to cringe when you get out of the limo. It makes me feel very uncomfortable, all of that stuff. But I will say that this past week's episode flew by and I was very intrigued. And there's a male model named Jordan who I can only, I'm like, he can't be real. Like, he's got to have watched a lot of Zoolander and just decided he's going to bring that character to life on The Bachelorette. He can't be real. But they showed clips from apparently this coming week, and he gets to fight with somebody, and he says that his face is his professionality. And I'm like, I'm going to watch it for that. And he does. He's like a Ramona Singer, because there was something this week. There were a couple of times, and he goes and he's like, and at one point he says, this is a real quote. He's like, I mean, you, I don't know why you don't think I'm smart. If you did my IQ, he said, it is much higher than you think a male model's IQ would be. And you're like, okay. All right.
Professionality.
Okay. Professionality. And he uses, there's a couple of different words that he says, and you're like, that's not a word. I mean, it really is. It's like it's the old SNL skit when Will Ferrell was George W. Bush. It's like he uses these words and you're like, that isn't a word. So I can't, oh God, I wish I could remember what it was, but it's something, but he uses these and he talks down to the guys, but he told Becca, he gave her this long thing about how the first thing you do, like when you get dressed in the morning, before you put on your pantyhose, you put on your confidence. And it was like, he was...
Well, I'm going to have to watch it just to see professionality. Listen, that's mm-hmm, one of those, mm-hmm. like, you know when people say intentionality? Every time in my head, I scream, it's not a word. Like, I know technically it is a word, but you can say intention. Yes. Like, there's never a reason why you should choose intentionality. You're just trying to use a lot of syllables. Like, it's just intention. Live your life with intention. Yeah. You don't have to say intentionality. Yeah. And it makes me think of like that walk with personality, talk with like I don't know. Yeah. It just drives me crazy. So I will.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I get it. I'll tune in. It's I think he's going to make it worth it. It's going to be entertaining to like, to just kind of see where he goes. I don't know that I'll care about the rest of it, but I do think Becca is real cute. So, but I'm also going to say they need to quit bringing up. We all get it. Ari broke up with her. Let that go. I mean, it's just a lot. So,
well, anyway. See, and I didn't watch that season. I think I've mentioned that before, but I have, from what I saw, I guess the part that I watched, I did see the part where he broke up with her afterwards. And I thought, well, this is one of the more brutal things I've seen.
Oh, it was terrible. It's terrible. I know. So, but I think based on the guys that are on the show, it appears that she's going to come out better in this whole deal anyway.
Hey y'all, this is Sophie, all by myself in the middle of the podcast to tell you this. If for some reason you think that you would like to keep up with Melanie and with me, when we are not talking into your headphones or into your car speakers, here's a great way to do that. You can find us on Twitter. Melanie is at Big Mama. I'm at Boo Mama. You can find us on Instagram. Melanie is at Melanie Schenkel. I am at Boo Mama 205. You can find us on our blogs. Melanie's is thebigmamablog.com. Mine is boomama.net. And you can find us together on Facebook at facebook.com/thebigbigcast. We would love to connect with you in any or all of those places. Also, thank you so much for going to iTunes this past week and leaving really kind reviews. They were so funny and we so appreciate it. It's super helpful. If you haven't had a chance to do that yet, just go to iTunes, look for The Big Boo Cast, and then click on ratings and reviews, and you can leave your review right there. Last thing, if you have not gotten your Big Boo Cast t-shirt yet, you can do that at milkandhoneytees.com. There's our new spring t-shirt that says Since the Dawn of Time on it, and then our Chin Up America shirt that came out last year. There are still some available, and then when they're gone this year, they're gone forever. So get one while you can at milkandhoneytees.com. We're so grateful to Mandy and the great ways that she has partnered with us. Alrighty, here we go. Back to episode 108.
Okay, so clearly we're both watching television. That's not our struggle this summer.
Yes, no.
I'm trying to keep college baseball and business and certainly Southern Charm. Also, I watched the final episode of Southern Charm last night for New Orleans. It was on my DVR. And I really liked Southern Charm New Orleans.
See, I never ended up watching it.
I really liked it.
I meant to. Okay.
Like, okay. I don't know. There's just something up there. Maybe it's too, I'm sentimental from when we lived in Baton Rouge, but there's something about South Louisiana that's so warm and so family oriented. And so there was a sweetness to Southern Charm New Orleans that I have not seen in the other installments of Southern Charm.
Okay.
Like where you can tell like those people really do like one another. And I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was relatable in a lot of ways and I enjoyed it. So that's just my little blurb about that. But are you reading it all? Like, since we're certainly watching television, are you balancing it out with any reading? What you doing?
I am. I have been reading. I was doing really good and I'd ordered a bunch of books. Scully and I kind of decided at the beginning of the summer, we both looked at Modern Miss Darcy's kind of like her summer read suggestions. Mm-hmm. And we both kind of picked it. We said, okay, I'll order three and she'll order three and we'll just trade back and forth and then we'll order more as needed. And so I was really gung ho and what did I read? I read the last book in the Crazy Rich Asians trilogy. Okay. I think I had mentioned that. And then I read, Young Jane Young, which was a Jamie Golden recommendation, which I loved. You would love Young Jane Young. It's so good.
Talk about that.
Yes, you would love it. It's so good. And I had Gully read it too. I was like, you've got to read this right now because we've got to talk about it. But it's all kind of based on, which it's ironic that this is all back in the news right now, but it's kind of the Monica Lewinsky-esque. You have a young intern who ends up in an affair with a married congressman and it's kind of the fallout, but it's told from like her mother's point of view. It's just really, it's written so clever. Like it's very well written and quick. It's like a fast read, okay. But it's good. And it's funny. I mean, it sounds heavy, but it's actually funny. And then I read Love and Ruin.
I don't know.
Well, Love and Ruin is by Paula McLean, I believe, who wrote The Paris Wife, which I had never read, which is about Ernest Hemingway. Love and Ruin is also about Ernest Hemingway.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something. Ernest Hemingway depresses me.
Yeah.
His life makes me real sad.
I'm going to tell you, somebody who used to teach Ernest Hemingway, I will get on board with that. It was not an easy life.
So the book was really well written and it made me find out more about, I'm trying to look and see now I'm like, it made me find out more, but now I've rotted my brain. Okay. Martha Gellhorn. So it's about Martha Gellhorn, who ended up being one of the first women who, covered war. She was like a war correspondent for all these. So she started with the Spanish War, but ended up covering up, World War II and is well known and an author and a writer in her own right, but she was married to Ernest Hemingway. She was his third wife.
Okay.
And so it kind of starts with their relationship. So it's historical fiction. But anyway, it's about their relationship and how that, but it made me, I'd never really thought about Ernest Hemingway one way or the other. It made me not like him. But it was well written, but it was a little heavy. So I read that. And then now I have just started a book called Fitness Junkie.
I don't know about this.
Well, it was, listen, this was on, hold on, I'm gonna tell you who it's by. It's Fitness Junkie, by Lucy Sykes and Joe Piazza. And they're the ones, they wrote, 2 years ago, it was called The Knockoff, or a couple of years ago, it was a book called The Knockoff that I liked. That was kind of like a Devil Wears Prada-esque.
Oh, book. Yes. I like those kinds of books.
Yes. You would like The Knockoff. The Knockoff was really good. And then Fitness Junkie came out last summer. And it, so far, it's about a woman who owns a bridal design company and kind of her struggles with her weight. And basically her partner tells her that if she doesn't lose some weight, that she can't be part of the business.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of, but it's funny. I mean, it's got humor. So anyway, I've started that. And then for the beach, I ordered, and I have only read part of it, but kind of totally different. But I didn't realize Allie Wentworth has a new book out called Go Ask Allie. And I think Allie Wentworth is hilarious. And so I bought that because I thought that might be a better, like while I was at the beach, because I can just read like sections instead of it being like a cohesive story.
So did you read?
Yes. Yeah, so but I've only read like one because I ended up at the beach. We ended up talking so much and we played cards. And so I did not have as much reading time as I thought, but I love it so far. So okay. What I have read, I would highly recommend because I think Allie Wentworth is hysterical.
Well, I do too. I've written all those down.
Yeah. So I feel good about mine. And then I'm trying to think. So then I have those two. And then what do I have waiting on me? There was something else. The Summer Before the War, which I had bought last summer and I never read.
No, that sounds like no air conditioning whatsoever.
No, I don't know. Cause you know, it's World War II.
Oh, and so hot.
I know. And that was really my other thing about Love and Ruin is it ended up having a lot more about war than what I was expecting it to have. Like I thought it was going to be more love story and it was more, it was a lot of war and a lot of descriptive things about war, which is fine. But I'm like, I can't, like Gully says, it feels more like war books or wintertime books. And I agree with that. If I'm going to read about the war, it feels more like a heavy wintertime topic. In the summer, I just want to read about fluffy things.
Okay. So I'm reading Go Set a Watchman by Harper Lee, which, you know, I have resisted it for a while.
Yes.
Know how I love To Kill a Mockingbird. It's my favorite ever. It is. I hold it in such a high place in my heart that I didn't want to read Go Set a Watchman, but I just kind of kept feeling like I needed to. And I had a couple of friends who read it who said, that they loved it. And so I'm reading that right now. And I will say that just being in the presence of those characters again.
Yes.
Makes my heart happy. It's just, okay. It really is like, and I'm not super far into it. So I'm not into all the conflict. I can see, I mean, I know what the conflict is, but I can't really, I'm not super, okay. super far into it. Anyway, so we'll see what I think about it as a whole, but
I'll be so curious
to be with Scout Finch again.
Yeah.
So, and here's the other thing that's kind of bothered me about it. And this is a whole nerdy English thing, but stylistically, there are some things in there to me that are very different than the way Harper Lee wrote in To Kill a Mockingbird. Like there's a lot of colons in this book. And I know that sounds, but there's just a lot of colons. And I don't know if that was an editor's preference. I don't know what that is, but it's throwing me off a little bit. Just stylistically, okay. I feel like one of the great things about To Kill a Mockingbird is that it's so punchy. Like the sentences are so punchy and this one's a little more rambly. And so that's been, you know, not that you can't write in two different styles. It's just not what I was expecting.
No, I'll be interested to hear your final opinion on that when you're finished.
Yeah. And then on deck, I have Reese Witherspoon and her Instagram for her book club is doing a book called Something in the Water, which is one of those that I know when I started, I will not be able to put it down because it's a couple, a picture perfect couple, but then there's a shocking discovery, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm all in for that. And then here's the one though, that when I read it, I can't remember how I came across it, but I may edit this part out. But I feel like that's a shady thing to recommend. I think I did. let's pretend that didn't happen. So I can't wait to read Something in the Water.
Yes. Okay. Something in the Water should be really good. Mm-hmm. You'll have to let me know about that one. And but I can't read anything that's too scary. That's my other thing.
No, but I like suspenseful. I don't like scary. Yeah. So, but since I'm home in the day a lot, I feel like it'll be a good time. I can't read scary before bed either, but I feel like it'll be okay. So
I'm noticing on Amazon that it's the number one new release in organized crime thrillers. So that feels like a genre. God love Amazon for wanting to give it. Amazon wants to give everybody a trophy. You know what I mean? Like everybody gets to be the number one release in everything. Number one release. I can't remember what mine was. Number one release in religious humor memoirs that are written by women who live in Texas. And that was an honor that I still hold so near and dear to my heart.
Yes, ma'am. No, my favorite was, I think it was Nobody's Cuter. And you were number one in, I mean, it was really something like Oh, I can't remember. It was something theology.
Yeah, it was. It was, but it was something. Hold on. I'm looking it up right now because I'm going to see if it still says, because now I wouldn't be number one in that, but I might still be number 672 in that same. Because, you know, they put you in a category. Amazon isn't about, they're going to, oh, here we go. It's currently number 33. Nobody's cuter than you in books, Christian books and Bibles, theology and ethics.
Yes.
But it has also made its way. Listen, Amazon, thank you for this. It's number 22 in books, arts and photography, music biographies, rhythm and blues. It is currently. I'm the number 22 book in the rhythm and blues book. Well, because you know how much I talk about the music.
I know. And I know how you love your guitar.
The rhythm and blues. I mean, how do you even, is it because the cover's blue? I mean, it's got blue on the cover. How does it even end up there? Rhythm and blues. It's the number 22 in rhythm and blues. So I feel good about that because you just think, I'm going to put that on a resume. By the way, have you had the number 22 book? Rhythm and blues on Amazon? I think not.
So good.
So I know it makes me yeah. The other ones, like, see, I'm looking like Church of Small Things is like humor and entertainment, Christian living. That all makes sense. Rhythm and blues, I don't even know what's going on Amazon.
Well, listen, a win's a win.
But they like to give everybody a trophy. They like to find a category that you can excel in and put you in that category. And I appreciate that.
I do too. Listen, sometimes when a book comes out, you'll cling to whatever you can. I mean, you know, guess what, everybody?
Number one in rhythm and blues. That wasn't anything I ever aspired to, but here I am. So we're going to call it a victory.
Okay. So since we talked the last time, you have received your boho caftan.
Yes, I have. Yes, ma'am. And I kind of feel bad even talking about them at this point because it's so fabulous. And I don't know if you know, but they are hard to come by now on Amazon. I mean, I feel like between you, me, and Lisa Whittle, it's like people have jumped on the caftan train and there are limited sizes left.
Well, somebody messaged me the other day and said that they were out of smalls in something, which that is not my particular battle. I'm sorry for the rest of you. But then somebody messaged me today and she said, I got my caftan. I don't know how to say it. She said, I'm just going to say it like I grew up saying it when I watched Maud. She said, mm-hmm. I got my caftan and she said, I really love it and it's so comfortable. But do you feel a little bit like a flying squirrel when you wear it because of all the fabric bunched up at the bottom?
Yeah,
I
do not.
And I said, well, I can understand why you would feel that way, certainly, but I am willing to embrace my inner flying squirrel because mm-hmm. I think it's so cute and because it's so comfy. So you would agree.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I love it. I wore mine. I got mine. And like the first night I had it, I wore it out to dinner with some friends. I put on some mm-hmm. sandals. I wore it to dinner. I felt super cute. It is cool. It is comfortable. It's everything that I've wanted in a dress. I mean, I can't recommend it more.
And the fabric, I feel like for the price, is surprisingly, like it's got some substance to it and it hangs well. Like it's not super thin, like some things, you know, sometimes when you get something and it's super, I just took two shirts back because they were so thin. So I'm a fan. I'm taking mine to Monroe this weekend for our girls' weekend. I figure I'll wear it perfect. When we go out to dinner or whatever because they're so comfy. So anyway.
Well, there's another one.
Everyone.
Well, I'm going to tell you that there's another one that I have my eye on right now, and it's by the same brand. It's Verdusa.
Is it the V-neck?
No, it's the Summer Color Block Half Sleeve Split Loose Shift Maxi Dress.
I'll tell you what. What? Summer, say it one more time. Summer?
It's Summer Color Block Half Sleeve Split Loose Shift Maxi Dress. It just rolls off the tongue.
Shift. Maxi dress.
Okay, it's by the same. Say. It's $20.99, and I like it in this green and navy and orange. Isn't that cute? Oh, I know,
Big Mama.
I know. I stumbled upon that the other day.
Oh,
and it's made out of the same fabric.
Congratulations.
But, well, I haven't ordered it yet, so I don't know. But I think it's real cute. And, you know, with those slits on both sides, you know, I have another like solid long maxi dress. And with the slits on both sides, you can always knot up the front. And so then, yes, you know what I mean? So it's not, but I think it's real cute.
And there's a black, tan, and white one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness.
I know. Right?
I love the maroon and black and pink.
Yeah. Isn't it cute? I mean, I think that's a really cute. So I'm tempted to order that. But then when you scroll through, which, you know, I don't, listen, I'm the last person to trust Amazon reviews because I feel like you have people who just want to hate everything. But then when you see the very first customer review is 2 stars and it's from Ruby. Now, it was in July of last year.
I think Ruby's reviewed one of my books.
Okay. Well, Ruby's, she's a top contributor apparently to the calligraphy category of Amazon. So she's okay. A calligrapher. But she says this dress was a major disappointment. It was huge and tent-like. It was made with very thin fabric, and it's a different cut than what's shown in the photos. Take a look at the sleeves in the advertised photo and the one in my photo. And Ruby has attached a photo. She says it's not like any, and it doesn't look like that. But I can't tell if Ruby's expectations were just too high for a dress that cost $19.99 on Amazon. You know what I mean? Like, I think you kind of have to set your, you know, be reasonable. I mean, it's a $20 dress on Amazon. So I don't, maybe we're just expecting too much.
Okay. I don't know. I'm intrigued though. I'm intrigued. I think you found a good one. I think you found a good one.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I think it's real cute. And I like those colors because it feels like it would translate really well into the fall.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's, I don't know.
It certainly would. That was quite a find.
Yes. Well, thank you. But I have to be careful because what I'm going to end up having like $600 worth of $20 dresses that I bought off of Amazon, and they're all going to be captains.
I know, but they're cute.
They are cute, and they're so comfortable. I know. But then here, Carmen B has a picture of herself with the maroon and navy and pink one on, and it looks darling on Carmen B. I just appreciate these people that have taken the time to post a picture on Amazon of themselves in it. So the caftan has been a big hit for the summer so far.
Well, I hope that Verdusa appreciates that. I hope they have a lovely summer of and continued caftan design success because they have really come through for us.
They really have. They have done well. Well done, Verdusa. We appreciate you.
We certainly do. Okay, well.
I'm going to go check on my barbecue chicken.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I'm going to go to the park and walk because I don't know myself anymore. And I've turned into a person who likes to walk outside in the summer. I don't even know.
What? Next thing you know, you're going to be reading war movies from 1918.
Don't push it.
You haven't grown that much as a person.
No. Oh, God. I still want to come home to the air conditioning, but I do like walking outside. I'm not every day, but I've gotten to where I'll do a day in the at the gym and then I like a day outside. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, so I'm going to go walk at the park and
all right,
and enjoy.
Okay, well, enjoy. We will catch y'all next time. I think next time maybe we can talk about. I hate to set up expectations, but maybe we can talk about some things that we're trying to cook for dinner or something.
Oh, that would be delightful. Yes, I think that would be great.
Okay, we'll just put that on our list for next time. Okay, all right. Thanks, everybody.
We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye. I feel like this is the dumbest thing now. It seemed like such a good idea when I was on the way home.
Well, I have nothing going on. I'm just hanging out.
Well, so you know how I told you that I was going to walk outside?
Yes.
Well, when I was leaving, David said, hey, you know, it's still like 90 something degrees outside.
Yeah.
It's not really cool. It's not cooled off yet. And I was like, well, I'll just go to the gym. Well, so I went to the gym and I stopped to talk to somebody on my way in. And when I got in there, I was going to get on the bike first. And then I saw these people going into the room where there are classes.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh, there's Zumba on Wednesday nights.
Oh, okay.
So I went to Zumba. Listen. like, you you know how you start something and then, it was such an impulsive decision. It was such an impulsive decision. And there were only like five of us in there. And they were all so nice and so welcoming. But I don't know if you know this, but there is a lot of dancing in a Zoom.
Yes, and it not in the dark. You're not dancing in the dark.
No. And and a lot of merengue and salsa. And listen, we were 10 minutes. I mean, I like to think that, I mean, I exercise pretty regularly these days.
Yes.
But we were 5 minutes in and had been very active. And then the instructor, who was as sweet as she could be, said, okay, one more warm up. And I was like, oh my word, that's the warm up. Okay.
Check, please.
Oh, check, okay. Please. That's the warm up.
No. Oh, no.
Anyway, I will say it went by really fast and it was fun. Okay. Like I enjoyed doing something different. But when I got home, I had to get a towel and wrap it around my head as if I had just gotten out of the shower. That's how that's how soaking wet my hair was.
Oh my gosh. So what was the music?
I don't know. I mean, it was fun music. It was upbeat music. It was sort of popular music remixed with a little bit of a Latin beat. And there was one song about some people got big booties, some people got small booties, which, you know, I always enjoy a song about booties.
Well, yeah.
But it was, there were all ages in there. So that was great.
Yes.
But I don't know. At some point, I just got tickled because I thought if I could FaceTime Melanie right now, or better yet, if I could go live on Insta stories right now.
Oh, in the Zumba class. In the Zumba class.
There were some things where you had to do things with your hips that anyway.
Yeah, so, well, because that's why it's Zumba. That is why it's called Zumba. Oh, man. Well, listen, so maybe the walk in the 98 degree heat might have been preferable.
I don't know. I mean, it was fun. I think I will do it again. I've never done it before. I think I will do it again. And I realize that a lot of people do Zumba. I just am not like a class person. And
yes.
So anyway, that was okay. That was that. At one point, I thought if I looked at my Fitbit, I think it would spin. Like, I think it would just like one of those clocks in a cartoon. Just,
overload. Yeah. Well, that's funny because I didn't bring this up earlier when we were recording, but I, so Caroline is going to see her trainer. She's going twice a week all summer long. Mm-hmm. And so he had made the comment to me when we went Monday, he said, you know, you could work out here too while she's working out. Oh, and so,
okay.
And so I was like, oh, okay. So today I went and so he gave me like a workout to do, like on the various weight machines and different things in the treadmill.
On the weight machines.
I'm going to tell you that it's like a leg press machine where he's like yelling at me to like keep pressing my legs.
I love a leg press machine now. That is my favorite.
Well, this one is like an automated one. So it's all computerized. So it's very fancy. So you're not really doing weights, you're just pressing against it. But anyway, I did that and I was like, I'm doing, and like he was having me do stuff he has Caroline do. He's like, run the ladders, do the whatever. And I was like, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. And he was like, okay, that was circuit one. Let's do it again. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to do this whole thing again. I was not really prepared for that.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I did the whole thing again. Get and it. Like right now I feel okay. But I think tomorrow morning I'm going to have some issues maybe with my shoulders and maybe my, what do you call those muscles in your back? Your lats. Because we did some rowing. We did some different maneuvers that really where it was that thing where I was like, this is a muscle I don't believe I have ever worked before.
Isn't that funny how that, because like you do different kinds of workouts. Like you do the spin classes and like you've done all your pure bar stuff and all that kind of thing. And I walk and do the bike and do weights a lot, but it's so funny how like just changing it to a different deal, it's like, oh, okay, my goodness.
Yeah. It's like, this is a whole different deal. And like, and you see where, because I've been cycling pretty much exclusively for a while with just the occasional smart bar. And like, the cycling is, I mean, it's good cardio, but like today was like strength. And I was like, oh, this is, and I'm going to tell you at one point, he had me jump on, I've always seen Caroline do it. It's like a half ball thing with a platform.
I know
like
exactly
it's a ball.
What you're talking about. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And he was like, here, get up on this. And like had to do like 20 squats while standing, like balancing on that ball.
Your legs are
going I'm going to tell you, my mom, like I'm going to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and probably be stuck on the toilet. You know what I mean? I'm being like, I can't get up. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, you and I both, look at us. Look at us trying new workouts.
Look at us. Hey, I did think, I thought when it was over and I was a drowned rat. I mean, I had like really my hair. But I did it. Like two years ago, I'd have walked in here and I'd have sat up against the wall and eaten a snack and watched y'all.
That's right. That's right.
So
I would have said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong room. I've got to go.
Is this where the Reese's peanut butter cups are? That's the room I wanted to go to. Mm-hmm.
But you know what I've realized, and I wonder if you're like this, because this could feed into the soul dancing thing. But like, I think part of my fear of sometimes trying something new is that I'm gonna look real stupid doing it. You know what I mean? Like even in my mid to late 40s where I'm like, well, I'm not gonna know what to do. And I thought today, I was like, well, that was so easy, because you know what, all I had to say was, I don't know how to work this machine, you know? And like, now I do.
Yeah, well, it's like,
yeah. So it's like, you have to get over that intimidation factor.
You do. And I think that's where the ladies in this class were really sweet, because they were like, oh, listen, they were giving me all sorts of tips beforehand. But even in the middle of it, they were doing some things with their hips and a pivot and a thing. And I was like, I can't, my body won't do that. My body won't do that. And they were super
Your hips
sweet.
Don't lie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. God. Well, that's so fun. Well, look at that. Look at how your day turned.
Well, I just thought it was comical that I ended up in Zumba, of all things.
And you were going to go for a walk on the golf course and you ended up in Zumba.
In Zumba. How about it?
I feel like that somewhere, that's a metaphor for life.
It really is. I think it is. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah,
the things you don't expect. Okay. Well, that was worth it right there.
Okay. Well, it's time now for Real Housewives of New York. So.
Okay. So we got priorities. Mm-hmm. I know. By the way, I know that y'all are weird about chicken at y'all's house, or maybe you're just weird about chicken, or is it David that's weird about chicken?
No, I'm not weird about chicken at all. And I think we're all better about chicken now.
Okay, well, I will tell you that you don't have to put this on the podcast if you don't want to, but Gully had made last night Pioneer Woman's, it's like slow cooker barbecue chicken, and I made it tonight, and it was a hit at our house, and it was super easy, and I didn't use the slow cooker, I used a Dutch oven in the oven.
Is it boneless, skinless breast, or is it a whole chicken?
No, it's, but well, you get, her recipe is boneless, skinless. I threw in some thighs because my people like some dark meat, okay. But also breast. But you do boneless, skinless breast. You put them in there. You salt, pepper, chili powder. You pour your favorite barbecue sauce in like a cup or a half cup of water. And like I cooked mine at 300 for like 2.5 hours. And then you shred it all up. And then you drain all the liquid. And then you pour more barbecue sauce in. And we just had little sliders, little barbecue chicken sliders.
Yum.
Yeah, it was perfect. It's like a good summer supper.
I think what I've decided I don't like about chicken, I don't like thick chicken. If I get chicken, I'm going to cut it. Like I'm going to butterfly it. And sometimes I'm going to butterfly it twice for a single. Like I want thin chicken or I want it shredded. But I don't want to deal with some like big
thick breast.
No, I don't want your thick breast. I don't want your thick breast.
No, I agree, because that's, I feel like I can even taste the way it feels when you chew it in my mouth. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Like it feels like your teeth are going through something they're not supposed to. Like,
okay, all right.
Okay, well, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for the update.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.